I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Thank you, Jack. I know that you're probably surprised at such a short scripture. But that short scripture says a whole lot. And oftentimes, you may hear people discuss, how did the world start? What got the world going? And there's so many theories, and we could talk about the Big Bang Theory. We could talk about evolution. We can talk about all of these things. But you know, that's not the point. The point is, whatever happened, God was involved in it, and God made it happen. And the other part is there's one theory that very few of us ever hear. In fact, I don't know that anyone here has heard it, but we're going to go into that as we go through this sermon. And so you just make note of that, because you're not going to hear it now. I want you to hear it and see if you can figure out exactly what happened. That is absolute truth. Absolute truth. Now, part of the reason that we don't know this truth is oftentimes we're not connected to God. We think we are, but we're not. It's kind of like this missionary. There was a missionary, his name was Herbert. And Herbert, when he and his family got their orders and went to their mission site, first thing he found is that he had been given a car. So he had a car at his mission site. He was pretty happy about that, but he found out something. The car didn't run. Well, actually it did, but it had to be pushed. So Herbert sends the missionary home and the school for the kids in this site were all together. What he got in the habit of doing is he'd go over to the school and get some of the boys, and they'd push the car and the car would start. So he had it all fixed, right? And then when he went to visit people, he made sure that he either left the engine running, or if the person lived on a hill, he parked it where he could go down and make sure that the car started. So Herbert had this all worked out. And after a few years, Herbert gets the word that he's being moved to a new mission site. A new missionary comes. So he looks at the new missionary and he says, "Robert, I want you to see this. This car was kindly given to whoever serves as missionary here, but there's some things you need to know. And one of them is, in the mornings, you need to go over to the school, get some of the boys, and they'll push you and the car will start. And when you go visit people, either leave the engine running or park where you're on an incline or a decline, and you go down and it'll start." And old Robert said, "Well, let me check this out." And he lifts the hood and he looks and he says, "Herbert, I think it's this loose cable." And he twists it, gets in, turns the key, and the car starts. So for years, Herbert was having people pushing, right? But the car would have run if he just had gotten the connection. Now, I don't know about you, but there are people in this world that are loosely connected to God. They think that they're connected, but they're not. And so they read Scripture and they say, "Now, let's see, we got to, it says here that thou shalt not and thou shalt." Well, you know, it says that, but that doesn't really apply to me. Loosely connected. Or, you know, Jesus says that you got to turn the other cheek, but trust me, if someone hits me, I'm laying them out because I'm just loosely connected. I believe, I just don't believe completely. Anybody here relate to that, understand? Those who are kind of connected, but I don't buy into the whole thing. And there are people who are loosely connected. And one of the problems with that is that we're real good about telling God about our problems. We're real good about praying when things go bad. Lord, my life's not working out the way I want it to. Lord, you know what? My spouse is not the kind of spouse I really wanted. Lord, you know what? My job's not really the job that I wanted. And Lord, where were you in all this? Why didn't you make it work out good for me? People do that. You ever known anyone who complains to God? But you know what? They never listen for an answer. I'm going to pray to God, but I'm never going to take the time to listen to God. I'm never going to take the time to sit still and hear what God has to say to me, because I'm too busy letting God know what I think. Now, you may be asking yourself, well preacher, how does God speak? I don't know. I don't do it because I'm not sure how he speaks. Well, let's look at something. Here's one thing. We're going to look at the book of Job, 38th chapter, verses 1 through 3. I want you to tell me, you know, what do you think about this? Then the Lord answered Job, out of the whirlwind, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Wow, if God said that to some of us who like to complain. Seems God will speak to us out of the wind. That's how he spoke to Job. Through the wind. Hearing, listening. Now then there's 1 Kings. And I want you to hear this because this is really important too. 19th chapter, verses 9 through 12. And there came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. How can you hear it if you're not listening? Don't you know that Elijah was, a still, small voice. Now, if God speaks to us through the wind, or through a still small voice, would it not behoove us to listen rather than speak so that we know what's being said? Not just listen, but listen intently to what God says. Let us bring some of these things together. If, and it's important that we remember, if God speaks to us out of a wind or in a still small voice, and we understand for God breathing and wind are one and the same. That is what we read in Genesis, the second chapter. Then we will understand the New Testament a little better. But first, let's see Genesis 2, 4. In the day the Lord made the heaven and the earth, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You see that wind going over the earth, that dust forming? Perhaps you're thinking, well, that's quite a stretch. Bringing God's breathing and wind together, and I would say, is it? Let's look at our scripture this morning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Breathing, blowing in the nostrils, the wind coming over, order out of chaos. If you throw dust up in the air, is that not rather chaotic? Did you see it flying everywhere? But God takes it and says, no, let's bring order. And what happened? He formed man and woman. Brought order out of chaos. Try this. In the beginning, man and woman actually, was without form and lived in utter darkness while a wind, God's breath, swept over the dust. Then God said, let there be man and woman. And there was man and woman. Here's the connector. And we truly must understand this. The wind, the breath of God, is in fact the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has forever been and forever will be in the wind and in our very own breath. Believe that? Do you remember this scripture from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John? On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. From our body. That's what gave life to man. It lives in each and every one of us. And if we don't make that connection, then what are we going to do for the Lord? If we don't understand that the Lord lives within each and every one of us. Do you remember what Paul said? Our bodies are temples where God lives. How can we not make that connection? If you're not excited at this point, you will be, because it gets better. What word means to breathe or blow upon or into? Do you know a word that means that? Inspire. That's what it means. You see, Jesus used the Holy Spirit breathing to inspire his disciples, just like God inspired creation, inspired the formation of human beings. That's how God did it. He inspired these things to happen. Inspire, to encourage somebody to greater effort, enthusiasm, or creativity, to awaken a particular feeling in someone. Is that not what Jesus was trying to do? Is that not what God was doing to creation? I'm going to inspire you to be more than what you are, to take chaos and make order. I'm going to inspire you by filling your nostrils with life to live that life for me. To live that life for the good of the world. But wait, we have the wind. Notice the sermon title, Wind and Light. We have the wind, but what about the light? So let's look at our text again, because we've got to figure this one out. There's wind and light in this. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from darkness. Where's the light? Now, I know you're thinking, oh, the sun, yeah, you know, we have the sun, we have the moon, we have light, we have dark. It's not what we hear from Jesus. Where is light? Perhaps this will help. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light in all the house. God said, "Let there be light," and added, "The light was good," and he separated the light from darkness. So when we are not following God, is there not darkness in our hearts? Is that not how we see light and dark? I don't know about you. I've seen a lot of movies that it talks about the dark side. Star Wars, anybody? But then there's the people of the light. And we hear that in Scripture too, people of the light. If we're truly inspired by the breath of God, if God really is connected to us, we will be a people of light, not darkness. If truly he is connected to us, we will be inspired and we will go forth in 2018 and every year after that, living our lives for Jesus Christ. Wind and light, breath and inspiration. What more could we ask for from the Lord? The Lord wants us inspired. He breathed into our nostrils life. And he says, "You are the light." Told us that through his son. We have started a new year. Each day we have the opportunity to start a new life. The question is, have we? Has your life turned around? Have you been a new person in Jesus Christ? Do you feel that inspiration of God breathing in your nostrils and filling you with the Holy Spirit? Let us not walk in darkness, but in light. For that is where our Lord has put us. And let us listen for that still small voice, because, again, all too often it's about us telling God. I got news for you. God already knows. There isn't anything God doesn't know. Does that mean we shouldn't tell him? No. But we should at least give him the courtesy of listening to what he has to say. Should we not? Rather than just constantly taking complaints and throwing them at God, the omniscient, omnipresent God, all-seeing, all-knowing God, we're going to take up time telling God and never listening. Enthusiasm is the inspiration of everything great. God wants us to be enthusiastic, so he sent his son. And I guarantee you, when we have training and Jack Carter speaking to all these new offices or people who are continuing, one of the things we're going to look for is for you to be enthusiastic about what you're doing, to make it work, to get out there and connect with God through the community and through the ministries of this church. If we are enthusiastic about our faith, that is what we'll do. But if we see it as, "Oh yeah, I was asked to serve in an office, I'll do it, but I really don't have a lot of time, or I don't really think it'll ever amount to anything," how great do you think your effort will be? Or will there even be any effort? One of the greatest downfalls in the Christian world are Christians who are loosely connected and not truly living life in Christ. So as we go forth from this place, I hope that we go out that door and these doors and say, "Lord, I'm connected. Speak to me. I know you know what I'm thinking because I tell you all the time." But you go outside these doors and you feel that wind blowing on you, and you hear that still, small voice, listen. God has something to say. Always has from the beginning of time. Let there be light. And there was light, and the light was good. And Jesus said, You are the light. You are. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, all too often we forget that you have put us in a position to carry out your works, to do your work. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, he taught us what to say, what to do, and he wanted us to be enthusiastic and still wants us to be enthusiastic. And Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Continue to fill us so that we can be people who are enthusiastic about our church, about ministry, and about you. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.